Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
In this episode, we're going to discuss the cost of attending college, some creative ways that you and I can maybe lower the cost of college, and how we could potentially save for both retirement and a child's education at the same time. As parents, we all want the best for our children. And some of us have started thinking about the cost of college or sending our child to college as young as elementary school. Others haven't given it quite that much thought. And so we're going to discuss generally, what does it really cost to send one child to college? And what are some of the ways that we can potentially lower that cost? For most parents, when we talk about the annual cost of college, you think simply that it's referring to tuition, room, and board. And of course, room is basically your housing, and board is meals. To the federal government, however, the annual cost of college means something else. It means the cost of attendance. It's more than that. It's a bigger view, because there are other expenses. You know, kids call home for all kinds of things, personal expenses, books, of course, they're going to need. So twice a year, the government calculates the cost of attendance for each college. This terminology, cost of attendance. And that's a full-blown view. So they will adjust that for inflation. And if your child is applying for financial aid, the federal government will use this number to determine your child's financial need when they apply, you know, when they fill out the FAFSA, the federal aid financial form. So there are five categories of expenses that are used to determine the cost of attending college at each individual college. So the cost of attendance at a particular college. The first category is commonly known. We hear the terminology tuition and fees. All colleges have various types of fees that you cannot get away from. And the tuition and fees is the same amount for all the students at any particular private college in general, but it's not the same amount for students at public colleges, because some of those students may be in-state and others may be out-of-state. And public colleges will charge a different fee, tuition and fees, for in-state students versus out-of-state. So we have tuition and fees. The second category of expenses in terms of cost of attendance is room and board. That can also vary by student, depending upon the meal plan your child selects and whether or not he or she lives on or off campus. The third category of expenses for college is books and supplies. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory, but they can vary by student depending on your child's courses and his or her requirements. The fourth category is transportation. Going back and forth at college, if your child lives off campus, they'll have to go back and forth between where they live in campus, in addition, back and forth to home. So transportation can vary greatly by student depending on where your child lives in relation to the school. And the fifth category, personal expenses. And as you know, they can vary as well. Health insurance, spending money, clothes, all the various things that our children may need as they attend school. Tuition fees, room and board, those first two categories are basically considered direct costs. Okay, and they're pretty much determined by using the college's numbers. For books, supplies, transportation, and personal expenses, you can refer to them as indirect costs. And so the federal government sets a monetary figure, even though the exact expenses incurred will depend on the individual student, they will set some type of a figure for indirect costs for each school. But so depending on all the variables for your student versus another student, your student's costs may be higher or lower than what the rates are that are set for these indirect costs. So it can be pretty sizable. We all know the cost of attendance to any school can be pretty sizable. And so we're all tasked with doing the best that we can in preparing, saving for our children's education, as well as being armed with as much information as possible, learning as much as possible early on while your child is fairly young about the whole financial aid process, when, what, how, and just getting that knowledge in order to maximize the financial aid that you can potentially get, maximize the grants and scholarships and awards, all awards that you could potentially get. I think we all have the same goal, and that is to have the funds necessary through funds that we've put away and scholarships, awards, financial aid, and to minimize the amount of loans that you as parents or your children will have to get to fund college. So there are some creative ways that you may be able to lower the cost of college by doing some things a little differently. For example, ask about tuition discounts and flexible repayment programs. So before you rule out a college completely, ask whether or not that school offers any type of tuition discount, or maybe even having flexible payment arrangements. For example, the school may offer a discount if you pay the entire semester's bill up front. And, you know, we've done that before. Hey, if I pay you all cash, if I pay you all of it, can you take some off of the price? Or the college may allow the money to be debited directly from your bank account, and there may be some type of discount. The college may also allow you to spread your payments over 12 months or extend them for a period after your child graduates. Of course, if your child is going to be attending your alma mater, don't forget to ask about any discounts for the children of alumni. And then also ask if some of the fees or charges are optional. What are, how can you save there? A second way to lower the cost, potentially lower the cost of college, is for your child to earn college credit while in high school. So So by taking advanced placement courses or special academic exams, your child may be able to earn college credits while still in high school. This means that your child may be able to take fewer college classes in college, thereby saving you money. Perhaps your child could enroll in a community college and then transfer to a four-year college. So one surefire way to cut your college costs is to have your child enroll in a local community college for a few years. And of course, that will often cut the costs versus a traditional four-year institution. Then after 2 years, he or she can transfer to a four-year institution. Your child's diploma will be from the four-year institution, but your expenses won't be from a four-year institution for all 4 years. But before choosing this route, make sure that any credits that your student earns at that community college will be transferable to another institution. You could look at potentially deferring enrollment for a year. So your child might be, you know, pretty much ready to go to college, but maybe taking a year off, sometimes referred to as a gap year, can give you some breathing room to financially prepare and allow your child to work and you to save money for a full year before starting college. So maybe that gap year might work for you. Your child will apply under the college's normal application deadline with the rest of his or her classmates, and once accepted, can ask for a one-year deferment. But make sure the college offers deferred enrollment before your child goes through the time and expense of applying. So make sure that is an option at that college. Living at home. It's not every child's dream, but attending a nearby college and living at home, even if it's just for a year or two, can substantially reduce the costs by eliminating room and board expenses. Although your child will be incurring costs, probably a little more for commuting. So this arrangement might work out better at a college that has a student commuter population, because the college is likely to try to meet the student's needs. So if your child does live at home, both of you will need to probably sit down ahead of time and talk about mutual expectations. For example, now that you're in college, child, it's not realistic to expect him or her to adhere to a rigid weekend curfew, maybe, whatever those expectations are. Online institution, online learning options. Taking courses online is, as we all know, a trend that is here to stay. And many colleges are and have, obviously during the pandemic, created and expanded opportunities for online learning. So your student may be able to take a year's worth of classes from home and then attend the same school in person for the remaining years. They don't have to do online learning all 4 years. Another opportunity to reduce the college costs is, of course, working part-time throughout college years. Part-time work during college can help your child defray some of the costs. Now, although it can be somewhat demanding, potentially, physically and emotionally, we all have to support our children and, you know, just kind of be aware of what's going on in that area. So to make sure that your child's academic work does not suffer, one option might be for your child to focus on school the first year and then maybe get a part-time job in the remaining years once they've settled in and gotten accustomed to the college atmosphere. One of the things that I did in my freshman year, I think the second semester, I applied for and obtained a resident assistant job at college over the dorms. And that allowed for me to have, I believe, free, if I'm recalling correctly, free room and to develop some leadership responsibilities. So encourage your child maybe to become an RA. They call them RAs, resident assistants, at college, because it could earn them free room and maybe even free board. You could consider, look at your employer. Your employer may offer education assistance for the children of its employees. Maybe some type of partial tuition reimbursement or company scholarships. Check with human resources. And if there are family members, grandparents, or any other family members that would like to contribute to your child's college costs, they can make payments directly to a college and it be beneficial to them from a tax perspective, as opposed to making those payments directly to you or your child. It's helpful to do it directly to a college, therefore they wouldn't be considered gifts for purposes of the federal gift tax rules. So they can be as generous as they like, making those donations and contributions directly to the college. So those are some ways, some creative things to think about in terms of saving on the cost of attendance that you can do on your end. Now, we all want to retire comfortably when the time comes, but we also want to help our children go to college. So how do we juggle both? We all know that can be a challenge, but it is achievable. You can reach both goals if you make some smart choices now. With everything, it just requires thought and planning. So the first thing, step one, is know what your financial needs are. The first step is to determine your financial need for each goal. So for retirement, consider some of these questions to help you get started. And we've had an episode on basic retirement planning. So some of this is a repeat, but it can never be repeated too much. Some questions to answer. How many years will it be until you retire? Does your company offer a employer-sponsored pension plan or retirement plan? And are you participating? If so, what's your balance? Can you estimate what your balance will be when you retire? This is all about planning. Do you or your spouse expect to work part-time in retirement? What standard of living do you hope to have in retirement? Do you want to travel a lot, or will you be happy to stay in one place and live pretty simply? How much do you expect to receive in Social Security benefits? For college, the questions that you should ask yourself is, how many years until your child starts college? So, you know, if your child is in middle school and they're X age 13 or whatever age it is, then you know it's 5 years out. Or if your child is still a baby, then you may have 17 years before they start college. That's important from a planning perspective. Will your child attend a public or private college, and what's the expected cost? That is easily attainable, that information, right online. Colleges have their cost of attendance right online on their website, the federal cost of attendance. Will you have to fund college costs for more than one child? Does your child have any special academic, athletic, or artistic skills that could lead to a scholarship? That's huge. You want to nurture that. And if you feel comfortable that your child will get an academic or athletic scholarship or any other type of scholarship that will pretty much pay a pretty robust amount, then you can factor that into your planning. And then, do you expect your child to qualify for financial aid? So, after you answer these questions and you come up with what your financial needs will be for retirement and what your financial needs would be for your children's education, the next step is to determine what you can afford to put aside each month. So more than likely, the years remaining for your retirement is different than the years remaining for your children to go to college. One may be a longer horizon down the line, and that's important to know. So as you come up with the bucket, so for example, if you determine that for retirement, I'm going to need, $500,000 in my retirement years. A bucket of money of $500,000. For my children's education, you might determine that you're going to need $80,000 for the 4 years. So then you then know how many years it's going to be before you retire. So you have an idea of how many years you have for you to put away, including any, obviously, all of the earnings on investments for your retirement. And then your child's education, you know how many years you have to put away to fund your children's education. So you're going to need to prepare a detailed family budget that will list all your income and expenses. Keep in mind, though, that the amount that you're going to be able to afford to put away for retirement and college is going to change here and there as circumstances and situations change in your family's life. So once you've come up with a dollar amount, so for example, you may know that you're going to need to put away, let's say, $1,000 a month between the two. And now you're going to have to decide how to divvy up the funds, how much of it will go to retirement and how much of it will go to the college fund. Now, we've had episodes on cash reserves. We're not talking about that in this episode, but always keeping in mind that a cash reserve fund should always be a part of what we're all planning and funding every month as well for emergencies. Emergencies happen now. College education is down the road. Retirement is down the road. But there will be an emergency probably before 2021 ends that we're going to have to be able to take care of. And that's where the cash reserve fund comes in. So getting back to saving for retirement and a child's education at the same time, though college is obviously an important goal, you should probably focus on your retirement funding if you have limited funds. Why are we saying this? Because most employers have done away with pensions. They are mostly a thing of the past. So the burden is often on us to put away for our own retirement. Companies are not just providing pensions like they used to. So you would have to be putting away in a 401k at your job or a separate IRA separately. But that burden is primarily on you to fund retirement. While with college, your child has a pretty high opportunity of getting financial aid and scholarships in order to help fund that. But there is no such thing as a scholarship for your retirement or financial aid for your retirement or a retirement loan. So if you are limited, if you have limited funds, the suggestion, only a suggestion, is to consider focusing on the retirement first. But the ideal situation is to pursue both goals at the same time. The more money that you can put away for college now, the less money you or your child will need to borrow later. Even if you can allocate only a small amount to your child's college fund, let's say $50 or $100 a month, you might be surprised at how much you can accumulate over many years. Those dollars add up if you consistently put that small amount in and that amount is earning money and you look up 10 years later, you will be surprised. So for example, if you saved $100 every month and earned 8% annually, you'd have saved over 18,000 in your child's college fund after 10 years. And that's just $100 a month. And that is just an illustration. This does not represent any specific investment advice. And 8% is not any type of guaranteed return. It's just a hypothetical situation. So if you're unsure about how to allocate your funds between retirement and college, a professional financial planner may be able to help you. This person can also help you with appropriate investments for each of those goals. Remember, just because you're pursuing both of the goals at the same time, doesn't mean that the same investments would be suitable for both funds. So you might ask, what can I do with my retirement account if I have not saved for my child's college? Can retirement accounts be used to save for college? Retirement accounts are generally for that exactly, okay? And that is for retirement. Can you? Yes. Should they? Well, it depends on your family circumstances. Most financial planners will discourage paying for college with funds from a retirement account, okay? It will leave you with no funds in your retirement years. That's the first disadvantage. The second disadvantage is if you withdraw those funds earlier than the IRS allows in terms of age, there will be, could be a monetary penalty as well as tax consequences. So that's the reason you would want to try to avoid at all costs using retirement accounts for your college savings. I hope that this episode has been helpful to you. We're going to drill down a little further, specifically on various ways that you can save the 529 plan and other options out there. We will continue in the cost of college and saving for college in other episodes. But we thank you for listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated financial parts of your life and business and make it easy for you to understand. Please also catch us on Hindsight Media Radio Network 103.5, where there is always something good to listen to and something good to talk about.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters Show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.